Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, January 14th, 2020, and it's a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today's readers are, let me back up. We are going to be reading today from the big book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're going to be on page 82. We're going to unpack today paragraph 3, and that starts with the alcoholic is like a tornado and then ends with ain't it grand the wind stop blowing. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Kim T, the 12 traditions, Shelley C. R. Reading the text and support today is Kathleen O, Kathy Jo P, KP. Greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact info is Wendy B. And then wrapping it up today with announcements will be Leslie M. Stay till the top of the hour for all that great stuff, please. The reference numbers, which will be the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Big Book Study meeting, that would be for Monday, January 13th, 2020, is 13962, 13,962. And then this morning we already had a meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. That would be for Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. That would be 7 a.m. 13968, 13,968 for that one. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kim T. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kim T., recovering compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kim T. I will now ask Shelley C. R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Shelley C. R., recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to give service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley C.R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And I wanted to be clear that this would be the star 1 key function on your phone pad only, not your self-mute, to be able to disconnect from interference. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter into action on page 82. We're going to unpack paragraph 3 today at the bottom of that page, and it begins with the alcoholic is like a tornado, and then ends with ain't it grand the wind's about blowing. And I would like to ask Kathleen O. to open up this meeting today by reading that paragraph and beginning with her experience on the directions that she finds there. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. The alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He is like the farmer who came up out of his cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?" Okay, I'm setting my timer here. So I love this paragraph. You know, it's really about denial of responsibility. And the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Well, isn't that the truth? I don't know about you, but I was that tornado wreaking havoc as I tried to control, to manipulate, and force people to follow my script. My way was the right way. And my husband used to say I was like a train coming that couldn't be stopped. And when I wanted my way, I was like a freight train with no consideration of how other people thought. The line, selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. And most of us come in extremely self-centered. You know, being self-centered goes hand in hand with creating turmoil in the home. And for me, I was extremely self-centered. It was so much about me that friends and family would say more than once, it's all about you, isn't it? And I used to hate that, but it was true. And it's pretty humbling to admit that. So this chapter is about personal inventory and making amends. And when, you know, we learn humility and honesty when telling someone our life story and when making amends. And the paragraph is telling us we're like the tornado roaring through the lives of others. And then after the damage is done, saying, don't see anything the matter here, Molly, and it grand the wind stop blowing. It's not okay to be the tornado and then go along like nothing happened. The people in my tornado were frequently hurt and angry by my action. So for me to act like everything was okay is not okay. And just saying I'm sorry wasn't good enough. I needed to make amends, but the bigger part of this picture and what this paragraph alludes to is I needed to change my behavior and not keep repeating the selfish, self-centered behavior. So prior to working these steps and getting abstinent in body and mind, I would bulldoze my way through life and force my way and get my way. And these steps let me look in the mirror, and let me tell you, I didn't like what I saw. I saw the truth. I was selfish and I was inconsiderate. So making amends and changing my behavior was truly a gift of these steps. You know, in the past, when my husband didn't agree with me, it led to a lot of fights. And today, if I feel really strongly about something, I'll communicate it with kindness, understanding, and patience. But most things aren't that important. So when I pause and ask for the right thought or action, I usually get, you know, just let it go. Just let it go. And I say to my husband, you know, you may be right. And just be done. So my real purpose in life today is to be a maximum service to my higher power and the people around me. I place my life and my will in the care of God. I stay abstinent. And I help another person suffering from this compulsive overeating. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, thanks for the opening. Lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 82 in your big book. If you'd give your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take about six of you.
Sarah. Okay,
Amanda
K.
B.
Majo.
Sarah. Jamie K.
Did I hear a Sarah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amanda B.
Yes.
And did I hear a Jamie? Mm-hmm. No. Did you hear a
Jim K?
Okay, Jim K. Mm-hmm.
Suzanne B.
Suzanne B.
Santa.
Amanda. Santa. I think I got you, Amanda. Let me see what I have for. I think I have all six that I have for this lineup. I think I have a Sarah, and I thought I heard Jamie K, but I might be wrong. Amanda, Jim K, Suzanne B, and Santa H. So let's start with Sarah and then see what happens with how I understood the word Jamie. Hi, Sarah, you're first.
Oh, hi, good morning, and thank you to all being of service this morning. My tornado was definitely part of my personality, and I had a situation where I noticed my tornado was in my reaction to things, to life, to situations in my family. And suddenly, and unbeknownst to me, I started being accused of not caring. And it's because of this personality shift. It wasn't because I didn't care. It's because the tornado stopped and I didn't react in a tornado way. But I listened and I paused, and all the things that became part of my personality, really unbeknownst to me, when someone said I didn't care, I stopped and I thought, oh my gosh, I don't care? Huh, maybe they're right. And that's kind of my MO. Everybody else knows more about me than I know about myself. But that wasn't true. And that was a big eye-opener as far as learning who I really am. And and being able to slow down, pause, and express myself in a calm way, or not at all. I don't have to fuel the fire of that tornado or that cyclone in that in The Wizard of Oz with all the things floating around in it. I don't have to be part of that. I can sit and watch and maybe comment and maybe not, but it's not because I don't care. It's because God put this shift in me and said, you know, that says, slow down. What's really going on here? So many things can come and go, and I don't have to make a, I don't have to respond. And if I respond, I can respond in a kind, caring, and loving way, which this program has shown me. And it just kind of metamorphosized in me. Something happened when I put my hands on this book and read the words and work with others and have a sponsor who guides me and listen to sponsees who are going through this now too. So with that, I pass and thank you. This is Sarah S. and I'm in California.
Thank you very much, Sarah S. You know, let's go with the idea that maybe it was Dana K. Dana, did you speak up to want to share?
Can you say the paragraph on again, please?
I can. It's paragraph 3 on page 82. And since I can't find Dana, Amanda, are you prepared to go?
I am.
Okay, super. You're on. 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Amanda. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Toronto, Canada. I like this paragraph because it talks about the fact that I'm not perfect. When I'm in my disease, I say, don't see the matter with anything here. Isn't it grand that the wind stopped blowing? Like, I just want to ignore what's going on. And I used to think that was because I was such a selfish, self-centered, terrible person. But that's not it. And you know what? I say this to myself and I say it to my sponsees. We are fearful people. Or sick people trying to get well. We are not bad people. I am not a bad person that I chose to ignore my life. I just didn't know how to handle it, and I was terrified. And through the steps and through the program, not only do I get the love and acceptance that helps me learn God's will, which has nothing to do with shame or criticism or God's will is just for me to grow and to know that I'm loved unconditionally and to follow God's will, whatever I think that would be. And so now that I'm awake, like I look at this paragraph and think, selfish and inconsiderate habits. It's not that we were bad. It's selfish. They were focused on myself. I couldn't see other people. They kept me from God. And now I have a solution that tells me this is how you can live your life. You can be awake and you don't have to be afraid because you have all the tools to handle anything that comes your way. And my sponsor says that, and I really love this, that our circumstances don't change, but the way that we handle our circumstances changes because we have the tools now and I can look at life unafraid because I have a higher power behind me that will not only help me with not eating, but it will help me solve, it says in the big book, a higher power that will solve all our problems. So anyways, with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share. And the joy of being a tornado or somebody that just is really quick is when someone says, are you ready to share? You just say, sure, let's do this. So thank you so much.
Yes. Love that. Great partnership. Thanks so much, Amanda. So now we're going to be moving on. And I didn't give you forewarning, but Jim K., are you ready? Because you're up now for your 3 minutes and then Suzanne B. will come in after you.
This is Jim K. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Good morning. The one sentence that strikes me in this paragraph kind of jumps out at me. It says, we feel that a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. So sobriety is good, but in my experience, you need the higher power to help you along with your life. I've been in this fellowship since 2016. My life, I can't tell you how much my life has changed. It is just totally awesome. The help I got from my higher power and the fellows in OA is just tremendous. Earlier in my life, I was a bully. I bullied my family. I bullied my wife. I bullied my daughters. The job I had, the title was controller. And, you know, what's a controller? One who controls. And so it was like it was my way or the highway for just pretty much everybody. But boy, I've really toned down now. And it just really it just feels so good to be able to you know, use the fellowship in this program to get where I am today. But I've pretty much gotten rid of the denial of responsibility, and I own what I do, and really glad that the higher power is there to help me get through it. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jim K. Suzanne B., you're next, and then Santa H. will come in after you, and then the lines will be open again. So get prepared, folks. Yeah, hi.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Melanie, and for everyone else during service on the meeting. So for me, the phrase that has just been really critically important is when pause saying, coming out of the cellar saying, there ain't nothing wrong here, whatever he says. I don't have the book in front of me. And the reason why that's been so important, I use it a lot when I share telling my story, because I was blessed with getting abstinent early on. And I've been in the program for decades. And what I saw that in order for me to really move full forward with emotional sobriety, I had to really be looking at issues that were still problems for me. I had to look at codependency, dysfunctional situations, character defects, because the food had come down, but these other things were still up. And so it pushed me into having to not rest on my laurels, to continue to really dive into my spiritual life and to really bring in spiritual principles. And with that, I'll end. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Suzanne B. Santa H., it's your turn for three, and then we'll open up the lines again. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows, and thank you to Team Tuesday. It's great to be sharing on this meeting. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling in from New Jersey. And what jumped out at me was the word habits, selfish, inconsiderate habits. And this paragraph reminds me of why it's so important that I live in 10, 11, and 12 every day. Because a lot of my character defects has gotten better, but they're still a long ways from being gone. Whether they'll ever be gone, I am not the one to judge that. My higher power uses my assets, my liability, it sees fit. And so for me today, one of the biggest issues for me when I was a roaring tornado was with my mouth. I can really hurt someone with my mouth. And I was constantly told growing up, you know, you got to talk to people better, Santa. It's not nice to say to people, but my anger would just take the best of me. But today, I'm so grateful that I have a 10-step. So that instead of lashing out at the person who has made me angry, I can today can sit down and write out a 10-step, write out a 4-step, see my part in this, share with another fellow my 5th step, and help me to see more of my part and help me to see these glaring defects, these liabilities that I may not be noticing, and also just to help calm me down. So that I go to the person who the harm may or may not have been done to with a more sincere, calm manner. And so I rely on my 11th step because it helps me to pray, to pause, pray, and proceed. It helped me to pray because there are times, there is often almost every day, where I'm doing a resentment prayer on somebody. To help me to change. So these amends, the amends for me were the easiest part. What is the work for me today is the living amends. You know, like we'll talk about tomorrow, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. And I feel like I'm still in that reconstruction period and where I have to constantly work on myself, work on seeing my character defects and get them placed in neutrality when they jump out. So I may not have, be doing the same behavior every day. I may be doing it maybe twice a year, but they still come up. Oh, wow, my fast. Thank you, Melanie. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Santa. It goes quick sometimes. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 82 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it begins with, "The alcoholic is like a tornado." If you'd like to share, I'd like to get your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Michelle.
Michelle.
Kathy
J. Jody.
Kathy
K. Jody E. Kathy Jo.
Laura R.
Pedro
K. Laura R.
Carter B.
Who B. Carter. Is that right? Okay, that's all I can take for right now. I might have missed a couple back there. So this is what I have. I have Michelle J., Stacy K., Jody E., Kathy Jo P., Laura R., Carol K., and Carter B. Let's open us up with Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning. Michelle J. here from Arkansas. Can you hear me?
Sure. I'll let you know.
Oh, goody. Good. Okay. So, yeah, the tornado thing, it's just such a beautiful picture because I'm imagining a tornado that has hit all of us. We're all in this town, and we've all been hit by this tornado. And we come out after the storm, and we're all in this together. And we have this devastation. Our lives are devastated. But because I've been out of the food, because I'm no longer face down and I'm recovered, I am working to restore the damage that I have. But we all have different stories. We all, our homes, our lives have all been touched by this tornado, and yet we all have a different story to tell, and we're all telling it this morning. And it's a beautiful thing that we are working together to rebuild our towns, or our homes, together. And as I look back over this past year, and I do see my relationships with my husband in all aspects of our life, my relationship with my son and his wife, my relationship with people in general, I have such a calmness that's coming into my life and an ability to restore 60 years of brokenness, broken pieces, broken stuff. That tornado, the damage that it caused, I'm not afraid of it anymore. I'm going to go out. I'm going to face it. You guys are there with me to help me restore some of these broken things. And God is there, of course, always there. And it's just a beautiful journey. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Stacy K., you're next, and then Jody E. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Stacy K., compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm going to speak to this. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept home in turmoil. Wow. Thank God for the steps before here. You know, I was just thinking about how I learned about my selfishness and self-centeredness and, you know, in step 3, and really saw it clearly when I did my 4th and 5th step, you know, and here in the 9th step, I get to make those direct amends to those that are harmed with that behavior. And, you know, in here, we're kind of leading into how we live our life today, recovered, and that there's more. There's more beyond the direct amends that I make. You know, there's practicing these principles in all my affairs. And, you know, some people talk about living amends. I just believe that, you know, I keep doing this deal and practicing these principles, and then I can demonstrate, you know, to others that I've changed and I'm doing things different. But you know, it just doesn't stop. It goes for a lifetime, you know. And I've been really praying a lot lately and about seeing the truth and when the truth needs to be told, and asking God to show me how to tell my truth. Really, still so hard for me. But you know, I'm reminded, you know, that is selfish and selfish. seeking. You know, I'm kind of like, my nature is to be the peacekeeper, but I'm not, you know, but I'm being quiet and withdrawn instead of, you know, chiming in when I need to. And so, yeah, lot to learn. I'm so grateful for this program. Thanks for hearing my share. And you guys have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Stacey K. Jody E., your 3 minutes, madam, and then Kathy Jo P. will come in after you.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. This chapter, this paragraph is so right on. Boy, hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. Well, I was either trying to get abstinent or being abstinent or abstaining from this, abstaining from that, and imposing that probably on my family to some extent. Going to meetings, going to lots of meetings, but not recovering. How inconsiderate was that, and how much turmoil that brought into the home? So this really describes me. And if I was abstinent, that was not enough. So what if I'm abstinent? My husband didn't even want me to be abstinent. He wanted me to indulge in his favorite foods and, you know, our favorite foods. We started out as eating buddies. That's how we started our relationship. So he wasn't happy when I was abstinent. So that was no great shakes for him. So there's much more to abstinent than being simply abstinent. I can be stark, raving abstinent, or I can be recovered. And what's the difference? The difference is that I become a caring, patient, kind, loving, courteous person. Whereas before, I was selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and inconsiderate. That is the difference. That is what needs to happen when I get abstinent and when I recover. So, yeah, just incredible words that describe me to a T. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jody. Now we're going to listen to Kathy Jo P., and then Laura R. will come in after Kathy Jo.
This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. I went on a diet in 1976 when I was 14 years old, and I followed that diet perfectly. And I was definitely a tornado. I was so mad that I could not eat, and I literally made my family know that on a daily basis as I stomped around and lashed out. I never dreamed that there would be a solution to my food problem where I could become in a place where, like someone else on the line that shares that has 20 years of abstinence, and he says that he has not found the need to compulsively overeat, and that he is practicing that daily contently. And what a gift! What a gift to our families, what a gift to ourselves, that we do not have to be miserable. Miserable was the only way that I knew how to be if I did not eat. And when I ate, it took away the misery for a small amount of time. And then my misery was even greater. I never, ever, ever dreamed that I could live this free from the food, the pounds, and the misery. Unbelievable. I've had times, many times, I'm trying to remember exactly, but I think Bill W. said it took him 26 years to become emotionally sober. I'm still a baby. In August, and now I can say it on the line, I don't think I have, but I had shame about it. I was riding in the car with my son. He's an 18-year-old, huge soccer player. He weighs 190. He's 6'3". I was mad as hell at him. And I texted a fellow and I said, I'm committed not to punch Charlie. I literally wanted to punch him. And it was a craving that it was as bad as wanting a Twinkie. The minute I texted that fellow, that craving went away. I need you guys. I need your help. I don't know how to do this alone. I had someone mistreat me this past weekend. She apologized and said she owes my family dinner. I did a 10-step in regards to it, and I heard God say, write her a text and say, you do not owe us dinner, but I would love time with you. We're getting together tonight, and my will, just a little bit today, is saying, text her and clarify if she's paying tonight, and I'm committed not to do that today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo. That's Kathy Jo P. Laura R., you're next for 3 minutes, and then Carol K. will come after you.
Great. Thank you, Melanie. This is Laura R., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater out in Greeley, Colorado. Ooh, yeah. Tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. And no, the wind doesn't stop blowing just because I put down the food. But, you know, it's so interesting. I think about, I used to hear early on in recovery, you know, don't leave until the miracle happens. And oh my gosh, I didn't know how long it would be. But I think there's so many miracles that have happened along the way. You know, but what's interesting, what comes up for me is that I had no idea, you know, what true abstinence felt like. And, you know, I heard someone this morning talk about that until you're abstinent, you can't even pull out the game board. And I've been talking lately about the fact that I haven't even been starting on the starting line of the race, you know, because I have been in addiction for 43 years of my life. When I first got sober, you know, 16 years ago, I have no idea. I heard someone said, sit down, strap in. You have no idea the ride you're going on. No, I did not. You know, I didn't realize that I would be here 16 years later in Overeaters Anonymous, having to put down everything that I had to put down. You know, first you tell me sugar, then you say you need to weigh and measure, and then you know, whatever. And then it's like coffee and then anything that's blocking me from spirit, you know, and oh, so scary, you know, and over the 16 years I've had to let go. I didn't realize I was putting something in the place of God, you know, but I just have had to let go of more and more and more. And for the first time in my life at 43 years old, I can say I'm abstinent. You know, I am going now, I'm restarting the steps again because I, you know, 2 months ago had to put down coffee, and about a month after that I picked up this other stuff that I had to put down again, you know, that totally triggered my allergy. And I was able to actually witness for the first time, because I didn't have anything else in my body, how I really am when I'm in addiction, because I couldn't see it when I'm in it. And actually what's funny is all the fear I felt over the years, it's because of addiction. So I thought I was using those things because I was scared. I was actually using those things that made me scared. You know, you would look up anxiety in the dictionary and see my name. And yeah, I still have low level, but it's just, I'm able to be amongst you people. So what's so funny is until I got to put everything down, I was a tornado for 43 years of my life. And it has gotten better. And the work, I did the work in addiction and it has gotten better, but I couldn't get like true spirit. I feel them every single day almost. And if something crops up, I do, you know, I do the work. And it's remarkable. Now, does that mean it's crystal clear? No. The other day, me and my husband got into it. But you know what's so wonderful is I have the tools, you know, to make amends. And we came back so much quicker than we ever have. So I don't know. I just am so grateful. The miracle will never stop happening in these rooms. I will never stop growing. Thank you so much, Melanie. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Carol K., your 3 minutes, and Carter B. will be after you.
Hi, this is Carol K. from New Jersey, recovered compulsive overeater. Wow. This is the first sentence. The alcoholic's like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others, and that was me. I'm married 37 years, the first 32 years of my marriage. First of all, the first 6 years, we had no kids. We were trying to have kids. I didn't know it then. I know it now because I got recovered and worked the steps. But I didn't know it then. I had like hundreds of resentments towards my husband. because of his behavior. Of course, I was taking his inventory because I didn't see my own wrongdoings. I just saw what everyone around me was doing to me. So anyhow, with that said, after 6 years, we tried to adopt kids, couldn't have get pregnant, paid the agency $5,000 for them to tell me you're too fat. Sorry, can't do it. So we decided to become foster parents. And now here I am, hundreds of resentments against my husband. So he said, you know, Carol, I don't want more than four kids, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. So before you know it, we have a lot of bedrooms, and I was taking up to 10 kids at a time. Now, looking back at the time, I didn't realize why. And everybody was saying, how could you handle all these kids, blah, blah, blah. Well, now looking back, because now my head is clear and I can see and hear clearly, I did it because I was trying to save them because due to my own childhood issues. Okay, that's why I did it. But the bottom line is my husband didn't want 10 kids at a time, and I didn't care. And that's where my selfishness came in. I didn't care who I hurt. I did what I wanted to do, and that was the end of that. And because I had so many, and they had a lot of issues, I would yell, I would scream. My house was, I was a tornado. I was roaring through my house. And then the next sentence that really gets to me was, selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. Well, how'd I keep my home in turmoil? Because, again, I didn't realize, I didn't even know I was a compulsive overeater. I just knew my whole family was fat. But I was taking all the bill money. And I'd order pizzas. And now 10 kids, me, my husband, my sister lived here. I was ordering Chinese food. I was ordering pizzas. I was ordering all this shit. And the bill would be like $120, $140, $150 just to have dinner. I didn't care. The water wasn't paid. Let it go. Well, guess what? They shut the water. The mortgage wasn't paid. It was only 1 month behind. So you know what I told myself? It's only 1 month. My sister was in real estate. She said you have to be 4 months behind, right? Miss Know-It-All over here. You have to be 4 months behind before they start foreclosing, blah, 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 right? Well, before you know it, a few years passed, and guess what? We were 4 months behind. Okay. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thanks so much, Carol Kay. Carter B., your 3 minutes, and then it looks like we might have time for one additional share before we close out this recorded portion. Hi, Carter.
Hi, my name is Carter B., and I'm in Seattle. Today's my 8th day of abstinence, and I totally consider myself a newcomer. I want to start out by saying that I'm of the educational variety. I've been groomed and trained, and I think a part of blessed by God to be a systems thinker. One behavior that has come up for me over the last 8 days is that I have clarity and precision around systemic dysfunction. Whenever systemic dysfunction comes up, I go off the Richter scale. And I thought I had that under control with another 12-step. Or I gave it to God with another 12-step program that I'm in, but around food, I haven't yet because it was suppressed, but it's come back up. I'm working on my doctorate's degree right now, and I try to have transparency in my recovery and my profession. Now that I know what this behavior is, I have started using the tools that have been presented to me from this program to look at what's going on. And the best thing I could do right now is be of service, go to meetings, share about it, pray. I pray a lot. I pray before I even open my eyes up in the morning. And listening to A Vision for You. I also think it's important at this point to have an attitude of gratitude when things are very uncomfortable for me. and I'm learning how to differentiate when to respond effectively and when to respond from a self-centered perspective. I'm still learning how to differentiate that. But that's basically all I have. And thank you for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Carter B. The time looks like it would allow for what I would like to invite are two people to share 2 minutes each. If you're interested in 2 minutes each, I could take your name.
Courtney M.
Pedro and who?
Courtney M.
Courtney M. Okay, let's go with those two for two. Hi, Pedro, you're up first.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for your shares. I heard all I needed to hear this morning. You know, there's a big difference between abstinence and recovery. To become loving and kind, and it's a whole different thing than not eating sugar and flour. I'm so thankful to be part of this meeting, to listen to your experience, strength, and hope. Selfishness and self-centeredness, the root of my trouble. I want what I want when I want it, however much I want it. And I don't care about what you think or, you know, this tornado idea, you know, that not caring about anybody around me, you know, so what if I, you know, this mouth of mine, like I heard today, you know. So I'm so thankful, grateful that I am where I'm at right now in my recovery, and to be part of these people that are doing their best to become decent human beings. I don't know, I can't find no words to describe, but it's a very beautiful feeling, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share. I'm out.
Thank you, Pedro. That's Pedro B. Courtney M., it's your 2 minutes.
Hello, this is Courtney M. in Florida. Can I be heard?
I'll let you know, you betcha. Just trust it and jump in. All of y'all. Just trust it and jump.
All right. This is Courtney M. in Florida. I don't even see how I can cram everything into 2 minutes, but I'm going to do my best. I definitely fell victim to the idea that sobriety was where it ended. For me, that was abstinence from flour and sugar. I had over 2 years of back-to-back abstinence from flour and sugar. But I did not have abstinence from compulsive behaviors. I did not have abstinence from self-centeredness and selfish motives. I did not have abstinence from being an absolute terror to my family, yelling and screaming and still demanding things be my way. And a lot of times, coming from that self-centered point of view where everybody in the house should also be abstinent. You know, nobody else should be allowed to have flour or sugar because I can't. And basically making everybody around me, because I was miserable, making them miserable with me. So for me, this idea of not letting it end at abstinence from the food is huge, because I was abstinent for 2 years. And the fact that I was still coming from that angle where it was my way or the highway, and I will tear you down if you get in my way, that drove me back to those compulsive behaviors. It drove me back to the food, because I made my life so unlivable and made it unlivable for everybody around me. So for me today, I'm really grateful that God put a vision for you in my path, because it is helping me. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Courtney M. Appreciate that. And that takes us to the end of the sharing part of our meeting today. We're going to start the process of closing out the recorded portion. Thank you, everyone that shared. Thank you, everyone that was a service today. So if we could close, have Kathy Jo P. close by reading on page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that up with a serenity prayer and then transition to the last portion of our unrecorded meeting. Hi, Kathy Jo, thank you.
Good morning, it's Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.